Amen, amen. So oftentimes as I work throughout my day, I'll have one of my favorite sports talk shows playing in the background. It's called Speak. Okay, Speak, Joy Taylor, LaShawn Shady McCoy, and Emmanuel Acho. On Thursday's episode of Speak, Emmanuel Acho, pictured in the middle in the pink or salmon suit, he introduced the point that he was making by referring back to his early days in church. And in an emulated voice, he made a reference to his pastor while he was growing up. He said, there were times when the pastor would start to speak with charisma and would be making a lot of noise. You just got to put an at the end of everything. But he said that he was speaking, and he spoke like that. I'm just emulating him. And he said he was speaking, but he really wasn't saying anything. He was speaking, but he wasn't saying anything. His words were empty. Again, he was talking, but he wasn't saying anything. I've said it before that words are containers. We can say many empty words, and they carry no weight. When we're talking and not saying anything of substance, that doesn't carry any weight. But on the other hand, words full of weight can be few. They can be few, but have great power. See, words are like anchors. They're like anchors, and powerful words can carry so much weight. If I could create a word scale for us today and say on one end of the scale, I'd have empty words, and on the other end of the scale, I'd have eternal words, heavy words, and words that carry no weight. Now, speaking of eternal words, the first three verses in the book of John, that's where we're going to go this morning, and it's a perfect way to kick off our pre-Christmas service today. John 1, 1 to 3 says it best. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The word, a translation of the Greek word logos, is interpreted as referring to Jesus. It's indicated in other verses in the same chapter. For example, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. I want to read John 1, 1 to 3 again, substituting the word Jesus as well. And so it says, in the beginning, Jesus already existed. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. See, I believe God has given me a powerful word today. A word that's simple, a word that has eternal ramifications, a word that includes both life, eternal, and death, averted. We're in week two of a series called Prince of Peace, and last week, Pastor Marty opened up the series with the sermon, The Missing Piece. He gave us three ingredients. He gave us three ingredients. We'll use both today in our final sermon of the year as well next Sunday. Okay, that's 2 weeks from today. So I just have to pause for a minute. Remember, next weekend we will be at our Glendale campus. We won't be here for our Christmas Eve services on both Saturdays and Sundays. So next week we're not here, but the following week we are having service on New Year's Eve here. So normal service, New Year's Eve, and this is where we'll finish off the Prince of Peace. Now, three ingredients or three words he gave us, the three words to unpack the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that's not attached to a what, but the peace that truly encompasses and is defined by a who, the Prince of Peace, presence, purpose, and promise. Presence, purpose, and promise. And he said last week that the presence of peace, true peace, is not the absence of blank. it's the presence of. He said, peace is not the absence of conflict. It's the presence of someone greater than the conflict in the midst of the conflict, right? For example, true peace isn't the absence of my children who can annoy me at times. True peace is the presence of the Prince of Peace in the midst of me and my annoying children. Okay, so let me be fair to my babies. True peace for my children isn't the absence of their annoying father at times, very rarely. It's the presence of the Prince of Peace in the midst of them and their annoying father, right? So the Prince of Peace, presence, purpose, promise. We'll continue to use the three ingredients in the next couple of weeks. Now, kind of a random thought. And this was just kind of a random thought as I was thinking of it. Because how many people think that I love that? I wish like I had a name like that, like the Prince of Peace. That's a cool name, right? The Prince of Peace. And so when I started thinking about it, it was random. Why did the fruit of peace get its own cool name? Okay, that's what one of the fruits. If every fruit of the Spirit had its own cool name, I think it would have made Galatians 5, 22 and 23 sound a lot like a ring introduction. Like a ring introduction. It'd be something like this. Fighting out of the red corner, the leader of love, the juggernaut of joy, the Prince of Peace, the Papa of patience, the King of kindness, the gatekeeper of goodness, the Father of faithfulness, and the Sire of self-control, Jesus Christ. Christ, right? That'd be cool. So coincidentally, since I introduced the fruits of the Spirit, I want to draw your attention to the next door neighbor of the Prince of Peace, the Papa of Patience. Peace and patience. If there was a visual illustration of these two fruits, I believe they'd be holding hands or they're germaphobes, they'd be interlocked at the elbow, right? Peace and patience. And I want to zoom in on the rest of our time today. I tell you, it's going to be a simple word, but I've been praying for the weight of what it is that we're going to talk about. Because those two words really do go hand in hand, especially in the weighty word that I really do believe that God has stirred in me since the last time I preached about 2 months ago. Now, patience, by definition, I love definitions. Patience, by definition, is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering. Okay? Here it is, though, without getting angry or upset. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. So I'll ask you this morning, how well do you tolerate or accept delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset? And let me ask you this way. How well do you wait? How well do you wait? Do you wait well? Although we all know waiting is never easy, I think there are different variations to the difficulty of waiting. Our ability to wait tells us a lot about our spiritual maturity, right? It tells us a lot about our spiritual maturity. In fact, the reference to the word waiting is found in 116 different instances in the Bible. 116. Abraham and Sarah waited for a son. Joseph waited for a promotion. Moses waited to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Caleb and Joshua waited in the wilderness. Job waited through much suffering. David, I love this one, waited to be the king at the appointed time. Such a big story. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Like I said, there are different variations of the difficulty of waiting. Some of you are waiting for me to hurry up and finish my sermon so you can get out of here, go to lunch, and watch the game. Difficulty. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But waiting for the healing of a broken body. Waiting for the healing of a broken marriage. waiting for the healing of a broken relationship, waiting for the right relationship, waiting for him, waiting for her, waiting for them to return home, waiting for them to leave the home, waiting to get pregnant and expand your home, waiting to go to your heavenly home and be reunited with them, waiting on a person, waiting on a promise. That's all waiting that can be extremely difficult, especially during the holiday season. See, the greater the importance of what we're waiting for, the harder it is to be patient. The harder it is to wait well. The harder it is to allow for the Prince of Peace to be present and give you the fruit of patience. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. See, waiting is one thing, but waiting patiently, waiting without being angry or upset, waiting with complete contentment, that's a whole nother level of waiting. And this leads me into my sermon title for today. It's definitely bumper sticker worthy. Peace while we wait. The weight of waiting.
Wow.
The weight of waiting. See, the greater the importance, the heavier the weight. The heavier the W-E-I-G-H-T weight, the harder the W-A-I-T weight. Amen? So let me ask you, what are you waiting on? How well are you waiting? How long have you been waiting? See, I remember as a kid, Christmas Eve, just waiting anxiously. And Christmas morning would come. I remember vividly walking out to the living room and like clockwork, presents under the tree. Gifts of all sizes. Small gifts that were light, and bigger gifts that had a little weight. Small gifts, big gifts. Usually it was the gifts that were bigger. Those were the gifts that were heavier. So I had the assumption then, and I tend to have the same assumption today, the greater the weight of the gift on the outside, the greater the reward of the gift on the inside. Without knowing anything about what is in these, which one, how many of you would naturally choose the larger gift? Okay, I know I would.
Yeah.
How many of you would naturally choose the smaller gift? Okay, all right. How many of you are just guessing right now? Okay, there's some of you that are just guessing right now. Now, let's see if this changes anything. I'm going to tell you the smaller gift, this gift here, this would be just for you. Just for you. You'd be the sole beneficiary of the gift in the small box. The experience would begin and end. Guarantee you, though, most people in the room today would love what's inside this gift. Is there anyone, I'm going slow, there's no regrets, is there anyone here that would want this gift? I love the audience. It took a minute. They were like, anybody want this gift? It's good to want. Actually, who wants the gift? Who wants the gift? First one to come on up, you can have the gift. Don't open it till we're done, but all right. Hey, listen, you got to be bold. You already got it. Shantae beat you to it. She beat you to it. She was up out of her seat first, Gigi. Shantae. Yeah. She's like, who? Oh, okay. The moments that God creates. Now, here we go. The larger gift, she was the first one up. The larger gift, don't open it till later, would be a gift that benefited everyone in this room. Okay, it would be a gift that benefited everybody. Now, the context of this box, I'm going to tell you, could have generational impacts. It could go beyond the four walls of this building and impact thousands of other people and loved ones. But in order to receive this gift, Here's the condition. You'd have to wait. Okay. How long? I'm not going to tell you. You won't know. It could be weeks. It could be months. It could be years. Is there anyone in here that would choose this gift? Okay, no, you can't have it. Sit down. Bless you in Jesus' name. You're getting the gift. That was just, okay. I said it's not yet. See, I said she could have it when I said it, and she's like, I want it now. That's a word. That's a word for you. So I want the big gift now. How often do we want the big gifts right now? I want the big things, God, right now. I don't want to wait for the big things, but I want the big things right now. I'm going to go off on a tangent and start preaching. So, all right. So here's what I want to say, though. It's not yet, but it'll be at some point. It'll be at some point. Some point in your lifetime. Some of you are changing your mind already. You're like, forget that gift. Where's Shantae at? Yeah, she was the smart one. She was the smart one. Now, if you, at any time, you have the ability to change your mind, and if you change your mind and you choose a small gift, you can actually have that small gift, and you can have it now. This isn't a white elephant gift exchange, so we're not going to pass the gift around. But my point is that at any time, we can choose the smaller things. We can change our mind. You can have it at any point that you get tired of waiting. You just let me know and it's yours. But if you choose the small gift, you'd forfeit your ability to have the larger gift. And everyone in the room could deal with the consequences of your decision. Christmas without a Christmas Eve, right? Right, you guys all know the story. I'm not even going into great detail with it, but you guys all know the story. Adam and Eve, Genesis 2:9. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. And in the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the other tree that someone took, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not a cursed gift. But he gave two different trees in the garden. So two trees, two choices, one short-sighted. This isn't condemning to you, Shantae. This is part of my presentation. One is short-sighted, selfish, and temporary. And one showed the evidence of their love. Because don't you know you can't prove your love without choices?
Right.
You can't choose, you can't prove your love without options, right? It'd be so easy to say yes to your wife at the altar if she was your only option. We're not going to go there, but if she was your only option. See, even after the fall in the garden, after they chose wrong, God in his gracious mercy in Genesis 3:15 promised that a descendant of Eve would one day deliver a crushing blow to the evil one. One day. Not Monday, but one day. God never told Eve how long it would be before the promised Messiah's birth. All she knew was that it would be in the future.
Amen. Yeah.
It'll be in the future.
Yeah.
Okay? One day. Still, she was called to trust the Lord at his word. But their choice created the greatest and longest wait of all time. Okay, so now these aren't time frames that test our patience today. Not 4 minutes, not 4 days, not 4 months, not 4 years, not even 400 years, but 4,000 years
wow.
of waiting.
Wow.
Remember that the next time that you get impatient,
right?
4,000 years of waiting. Here's the thing, though. In our humanity, in our waiting, I think if we're honest, we all struggle with waiting. Including me, especially when the weight of what we're waiting on is heavy.
Amen.
Truth be told, one day has to be one of the biggest buzzkills of all time, right? Has anyone ever told you, you can have it one day? Really, you can have it one day. You just experienced that right now. At some point, you're like, really? See, if I'm honest, I made some wrong choices as well, choices that carried a lot of weight. And because I couldn't wait, personally, because I lost my peace while I waited. The fruit of my impatient decisions has caused some delays in my life. And that's an understatement. I want to share with you five authentic actions that when I'm waiting on a promise of God and I start to lose my peace, when I start to become impatient, when I start listening to the wrong voice and start to lose my way. Because listen, here's the thing. It was the same tactics in the garden that the enemy uses today. Here's the evidence. Here's the evidence. Here's what to look for. The weight of my waiting, number one, the weight of my waiting can make me worry. The weight of my waiting can make me worry. We're waiting well, and then the thought comes in, and we start to worry. Yep. Number two, the weight of my waiting can make me weary. Don't you know worriers are worriers get real weary. They tire themselves out by worrying. We start to become weary. Right. I ask you, are you worrying? Are you weary? Number three, the weight of my waiting can make me wonder. I'm kind of tired. I know I didn't used to think this was a good option, but in my weariness and in my worrying, I'm starting to wonder. Wow. Number four, the weight of my waiting can begin to make me waver. Like James says, a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all that they do, and we begin to waver. We begin to be tossed by the waves. Instability. Our lives are fruit of instability. Number five, the weight of my waiting can make me wander. My weight of my waiting can make me wander. And so often, it happens in almost this exact order, right? It happens in almost exact order, full transparency. I'll be honest with you guys. About 6 weeks ago, I tried to calculate it back, a huge seed of doubt was planted by a trusted friend. And I'm not telling you who it was, or what it was, I'm not going to tell you, but the weight, see, the weight of this trusted friend's words, it really has brought so much good fruit in my life. But this word was not from the word. It wasn't from the word that we talked about in John 1. It wasn't Jesus. It actually went against all that my life is centered around. It dismissed the Prince of Peace, and it contradicted the roots of a really deep word that my life has been anchored to for years. Wow. See, the word was twisted, and the enemy used it in the coming weeks. And even though I rejected it initially, I slowly started to worry. My worry made me weary. My weary made me wonder, and my wondering led to my emotional wavering. My emotional wavering led to my mental wandering. My mental wandering began to open the door to a spirit of confusion. You ever been crystal clear and then been so confused? I thought it was this, it was clear, it was clear. A lot of times, that's the way it happens at the beginning of the day. When you have your cup of coffee, everything is clear. And by the end of the day, you're like, what was I thinking? It's that, that's the dynamic between the two. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31 says this. It says, he gives strength to the weary one day. And to him who has no might, he increases power one day. Even youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Vigorous meaning young men or young women who are strong, healthy, and full of energy. They stumble one day. But those who wait on the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, when I'm carrying the weight of waiting, if I keep waiting for the Prince of Peace, if I keep expecting the Prince of Peace, if I keep looking for the Prince of Peace, if I keep hoping in the Prince of Peace, my waiting becomes the completion of a bridge that connects the hopeful words of one day to the four sweetest words that took 4,000 years to come to pass to mankind, the four sweetest words that delivered the reason for the season, and then one day. And then one day the Savior was born, and then one day the promise came to pass, and then one day God came down, and then one day the Word became flesh, and then one day the Word came to pass. And then one day, if you keep waiting, here's the other side of that bridge. Because we wait for that one day. It says, they will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God. The distance that we once felt as we wait, and then one day, he will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising towards the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not get tired. And then one day, and then one day, in the 6 weeks that I was waiting, it came last weekend here at church. A dear friend and his wife visited from another state. His wife stopped me and said she had a word for me. It ended up being a very weighty word, and I felt it. And I've wrestled with this word all week long. And I rarely say this, but I believe in my wrestling, this word. From the word, I need to share this word with you guys today. I know it's mine. I know it's for me. I felt the weight of it. But I also believe it's for somebody else in here today. I wanted to share what God gave me. Here it is. The healing to your confusion, it's coming. You once believed and were very clearly anchored in the truth. And this was in a particular area of your life. Confusion has made you unwell. And the Lord is going to bring you clarity and healing very soon. Amen. I still didn't know the time frame, but I knew it was very soon. And I pray that the Prince of Peace, his presence, his purpose, and his promise would give us peace while we wait. Yes. The weight of waiting. Peace while we wait. The weight of waiting. I'm landing the plane. One of my favorite verses, Revelation 12, 11, they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I want to share this with you. This is Louisa and Gabriel. This is Louisa and Gabriel, two of my friends that I met this last Friday night. Their parents are members at our Glendale campus, so it's funny the way things connect. Their Theo is my friend Robert Falcone from our Reveal campus. Now, Robert asked me about 2 months ago. He asked me, he said, Daniel, would you be willing to bless my niece at her quinceañera? And I've never been like, okay, all right, sure. Not really knowing what I was getting myself into. I wanted to do Robert a solid, so I put it on my calendar. Now, to be honest, I hadn't seen Robert in the last couple of weeks. I'm not putting him on blast, but his kids were sick, okay? And at the time when I agreed, I didn't know that I was actually going to be speaking today. So I didn't know I was going to be speaking today. And anytime I speak, I usually try and block out Friday and Saturday off my calendar. I'll take off time from my regular job to make sure that I have plenty of time, because it does take me time, to cook something good for you all on Sunday to come in here and eat when I'm speaking. And I had just fired up my laptop Friday morning. I call it turning on the gas. And I was about to start writing my sermon. It selfishly, to be honest, hoping that maybe they'd reschedule because I hadn't heard from him. Because I hadn't seen him, I hadn't heard from him at all. As I turned on the gas, Robert called. He sent me a message. Hey, brother, bless you. It's always easier to give somebody, you know, hey, brother, God bless you. Hope it's all well with the family. I'm like, get to the point. Are we rescheduled or not? And he's like, want to see if we're still on for today. And see, something about me is I can't focus on two things at once. Like, I have to focus on one thing and then shift gears to another thing. Like, that's just me and my ADD. So I have to switch. So I'm like, man, I can't even think about getting creative in my sermon until I take care of this. And I'm like, so what does this consist of? And so I'm like, man, I don't even know what is expected of me. Do I just go as a drive-through blessing? I just pray for her. Hey, pray. I don't know what I'm getting into. I've never done a quinceañera. I've never done a quinceañera before. So we got a sister on three-way. He said, hey, let me call my sister real quick. And she's the one. And so we got her on the phone. And so I'm talking with his sister's name, Suzanne. And Suzanne, and we're talking. I'm like, so what do you want to do? And she goes, well, we have an itinerary out for you. And we have things that want you. It's real short. It's real easy. You're going to do great. And we went from what do we wear to this. And I'm thinking like, dang, this is like a ceremony. I got to do something. And anything that I do, I always want to put my best foot forward. I always want to do the best job that I can. So I just can't half step. So I'm like, all right, well, here I am talking about peace while I wait and the weight of waiting, then the sermon's going to have to wait. I'm like, it'll wait. God, I trust you. So I went and did what any good person would do, any good holy person would do, is I went like Jesus did in the back of the boat and I took a nap. I'm like, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to get rested up. I woke up. God gave me some words. He's like, here, use this. Put a little thing together. So I show up to the quinceañera and I met everybody. And this young man here, you go into a place, and I love young people. That's just like, I'm still young at heart. And I'm talking to this young man, and he's just the biggest person out in the room. He's saying, what's up? He's got his hair all cool done. If he didn't have that cowboy hat on, you could see he had braids. And he was just like the light of the, he was lighting up the room. And so we're talking, and we're kind of going back and forth. And I'm like, man, this is a cool kid. And so me, I'm thinking right away, this dude's trouble. This is the one, because the mom had gave me, or Suzanne had given me a rundown of the whole family, kind of give me an idea of who's who. So I'm just waiting to meet these people. So I didn't know who they were. I didn't know who he was by name. So I start talking to him. Anyways, this beautiful young lady, Louisa, we had a great ceremony. We shared a moment with the family. It was beautiful. And then after the service, so I was like, was that okay? Because it was just small, like probably 20 of us in there, and then all the other people come for the food and the dancing and everything afterwards. So the people who really care were there. And so I'm like, is that okay? And then this dude in the front, Gabriel, is like, that was fire. I'm like, okay, all right. So I'm like, is he just pumping my tires? Like, what do you want? So we got done with the quinceañera. And so I'm getting ready to leave. I'm trying to say, and you know me, I can't go in a place and leave a place and just, like, I go in a place and then I'm like there. Like, I'm like, hey, how are you? Let me meet your Tia. So I'm meeting everybody. And so I'm like, I got to get out of here. So then here comes Suzanne. She's like, hey, Daniel, I want to let you know that Gabriel's been dealing for quite some time now with ulcerative colitis. Huh. And start telling me everything, and he's just looking at me, and he says some things back and forth to me, and he's like, she goes, but Gabriel's got great faith. And here I am. When it says don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, this young man is waiting well. You would have never known. You would have never known what was going on the inside. So just the craziness of all the dots that God collected or that God connected, and he put me in this place. Here I am feeling like a man on a mission here. And so I'm like, man, she said, can you pray for him? And I'm going to tell you honestly, I don't know, maybe you guys are just holier than me, but I get nervous when someone wants me to pray for healing. I'm like, okay, so you guys, all right, God, this is your job, but I'll do it. And as I sat there and I thought, earlier when I was leaving my house where I put my watch, I put my earrings, and when I get all my stuff out to try to look fresh, I looked in there, and there was this oil that this man had gave me. The man that gave that oil to me was the husband of the lady that gave the word to me. Okay, last week. So I got the oil, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm need this for. Maybe I put it on her head. Like, it's not an exorcism, so I don't know what I'm going to do with this. It's healing. So I put it in my pocket. And as I'm standing there at the appointment that God had me at, I'm like, Some said the oil in your pocket. Yes. I haven't looked at or seen that oil in over a year.
Wow.
That's oil straight from Israel, and it smells good and everything else. And so I'm like, so I anointed. I put it on. He put his little stomach up like that, put his shirt up. I prayed for him, and I'm leaving. And then there's a plate of food there. Now, I talked to Daniel Arvelo earlier. Because I called Daniel Arvey, to be honest with you, and I was like, Daniel, can you pray for me? Because I got a lot on my plate. It's before I took a nap. I'm like, Daniel, could you pray for me, man? Because I got this quinceañera, and then I got to get ready for my, I got to get the word ready. So I called Daniel, and Daniel's like, well, yeah, I got a big plate. I got a lot on my plate, too. And I'm like, damn, this is depressing. So I'm like, well, let me pray for you then. So I ended up praying for us. I ended up praying for Daniel, and then we prayed, and he's like, and he texts me. He always texts me crazy stuff. So Daniel, I'm going to tell you what he texts me. I'll tell you a little bit what he texted me. And Daniel texted me. He said, he goes, bro, at least you get to go to a quinceañera. He's like, bring me two tacos and a tecate. Okay. So here I am. Go back to me and Gabriel there. And you know, anybody, Hispanic hospitality is amazing. They brought me a plate. My plate got cold by the time that I prayed, because I do take a little bit to talk and pray. So my plate got cold, and she's like, here, let me get you a warm one. I'm like, no, why don't you put that away? And I'm thinking of this guy. I'm like, I could bring Daniel a plate. So I'm like, hey, could you put that to go? She's like, yeah, you want another one to go? I'm like, yeah, maybe two for go. So somehow she heard two to go and three to go, and she gave me three. She goes, here's the three to go. I said, two to go. She gave me three to go. Anyways, if I could tell you the dots, I was about to preach this whole Sunday on everything that happened, because there was so much stuff that happened. It's just a snippet of it. And so I'm leaving. Here it is. I'm leaving, and I haven't felt like I was sent to a place to do a work that I was wrestling with since I went to China.
Wow.
Since I went to China on a mission trip. It just, the stuff that God was doing,
right,
the connections, really, really serious. I felt like I was just in this spiritual fog. So I'm leaving out. I'm telling everybody bye. I see Robert on the way out. And I'm going to ask the band to come up and help me close this out. I'm going to get through this, I promise. I'm going to get through this. As I left out at 5:30 p.m. with three plates of food, I'm getting ready to shoot Daniel a message. Here's the place I was heading out of. I was feeling like I had just put in some powerful kingdom work.
Amen.
I was in, I was like on a spiritual high, like on cloud nine. I just super blessed. I was super blessed to have been connected to the entire family. I can move this for you, Jen. And so I'm leaving. When they say, like, drunk in the spirit, like, I felt like I hadn't drank anything, I promise. Daniel's Tecate, I had his plate, but no beer. And I'm leaving, and I'm like, how did I get in here again? How did I get in here? So here it is. I'm pulling out, and it was dark out. I'm pulling out, and I was trying to remember, how did I come in here? I'm like, oh, well, let me just turn left. I was going to put my GPS, but my wife's car, the way that my wife's car is connected, like, my wife's car doesn't connect to my phone. You know how you connect your car to your phone to your car, and it sometimes just like try to tell Siri something like, hey, text Daniel. I was just excited to, hey, text Daniel. And it's not connected, and I'm like, what do I get out of here? And I'm looking at cars behind me. So I pulled out, oh, left. So I went left. I come to this light. This light, as you can see, there's a red arrow going left, and there's a green light. And I was still trying to figure out which way to go. I'm like, oh, I got to turn left here. So my car was kind of like in the lane and in the left-hand turning lane, and it's got a big back end, the car does. And so I thought, dang, I don't want to block anybody. And so here comes the anointing that I had. It's like, just wait. Don't do the right thing. And then there's this other voice. It says, go. Go. Just go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. And you feel that rushed, like, go, 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 go. And I went. The weight of not waiting. Give me some keys, if you would, to make it sound more spiritual. And this is real talk. This is real talk. I like to laugh because I've been trying to cry all morning. I pulled into the far left. So there's two lanes going left. I knew I had to turn left. That's Grand Avenue, 85th and Grand Avenue. And I had to get in the left lane. So I got in the left lane. And I'm still trying to voice text Daniel. I'm like, Daniel, hey, do you still need food? And it's like, ding. And I'm like this, and I'm getting frustrated. So I'm stopped at this light. Light turns green, and I was looking down. It was dark outside, and I looked down, and I looked up, and it was like milliseconds. I looked down on my phone. It was like, do you want food? And it was still not doing what I wanted to do. I looked up. It was green. And I waited. Just a split second. And I'm telling you, as I waited and began to pull forward, vroom, a car was going like 70 miles an hour. And I'm not making this up. Like, I haven't said that I've seen my life flash before. Because you start trying to talk yourself out of it. Like, well, if I would have went sooner, it was just that quick. And it would have hit me, impacted me on my side. And it was like when something rattles you. And I've never been rattled like that. Don't you know when you go places to do things for the kingdom, you got to expect that something's going to come back at you. Now, God was trying to save me of that red light that I chose to go through, but he still spared me in his grace. I left. I was like looking around, like spinning kind of like, and just thinking like, and I was just like, make sure no other cars were coming or maybe someone, I didn't know what, I was like kind of like in a fog, and I turned left and I went down Grand Avenue and I broke. And I'm driving down the road. And honestly, I just wanted to embrace somebody. Because I'm telling you, I realized that I had been spared. Amen. And there's a weight in the fact when you know you've been spared. I asked Daniel, you still need food? He's like, bring it, bro. I said, I got no tecate. And he goes, come on, I'm here, I'm hungry. They're not feeding me. They're treating me like a Mexican in the back. He was here. He was here. And so I went, and I came in, and I brought the plates, and I said, you sick still? Because I wanted to hug him. And he goes, yeah, bro, I'm still sick. I was like, he goes, are you sick? Because I've been crying. I've been weeping. Like, you know the difference between you're crying right now, and you're just like weeping. And he's like, what's wrong? And I told him. I began to break down out back here. He still never gave me a hug. And I went home. I gave him his food. And I went home because I'm like, I need to make it here today, God. I went home and I walked in the house and just knowing that things could have been a whole lot different. And I'm not trying to make up some spiritual story. I'm telling you by the word of my testimony. I embraced my son and I began to cry and he was the first one I saw, it was my oldest son Israel. Then my wife came down and they're like, what's wrong? And I can't even get anything out. I'm just happy that I was spared and I'm happy that I was saved. And you start to go through and think about everything that could have happened, everything that might have happened, how things could have been a whole lot different. Please grab your candles and stand with me as we close. There was something about, don't start the pads yet. There was something about the weight. Wait. See, I think this morning, peace while we wait, the weight of waiting. I believe that somebody's, and then one day is right around the corner.
Amen.
See, it was time to open the gift that carried great weight. It was time to open the gift that carried great weight, the long-awaited promise of God, Jesus, which means God saves. My last scripture, it's a continuation of our opening verse in John 1. Here it is. Jesus gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light. His life brought light, and the darkness can never extinguish it. I thought about it in doing this today because I had to tie together all this. And I thought this could have been a whole lot different. This could have been like Lizzo's funeral that we did last. It could have been. I tell you what, I've had a different appreciation for life over the last 24 to 48 hours. See, as we close in this last song, as a personal celebration that my light was not extinguished, and that your light is still burning, Lord, I pray that the one who is waiting would take that Isaiah scripture and they would hold on to it. They would hold on to it. We know when the Prince of Peace comes into our presence, even though the circumstances haven't changed yet, we will choose to wait. We'll choose to wait well for our, and then one day. And then one day changed everything. Lord, bless your people as they go. Number 6, 24 and 26, may the Lord bless you. This word has it, and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor in your life and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.